Thank you so much to our youth team and Nathan and your leadership. Stephen, you're multitasking today. And to God who filled in for one of the youth. Typecasting not, right? I got you. A year ago, I missed this Sunday. I was in the hospital having had a little stroke, and I just want to report to you, it's 12 months ago, I'm doing great, doing everything I'm told to do, right, Cheryl? She said yes, and we're excited about how God is working, and I want to invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of John, beginning in chapter 7, with verse 37. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. We're talking today about the Holy Spirit, and again, this is a snippet sermon because there's no way to do an entire sermon or series. I would need to do an entire series on the Holy Spirit in order to do this justice. But today the topic really is power for living. And, you know, we live in a culture where there are so many sources for power. You can find it in a bottle. You can go to the GNC store and you can take certain powders and certain vitamin supplements and different things that actually would get you thrown out of the NFL because there are enhancements. There are other types of power that people look to in today's age. I think it's fascinating, at least it is to me, that when we come to a topic like this, and again, I'm just going to brush through the topic because of the nature of our time together, but in today's world, there's a great deal of misunderstanding about the Holy Spirit. And one of the purposes behind the song Perfect today is that in the New Testament, the word perfect means mature, complete. It doesn't mean without sin. And God, through Christ, because of the finished work of Christ on the cross and the resurrection of Jesus, which validates everything that He taught, we are seen by God as complete and perfect. That's hard for you and I to believe because you don't feel perfect, right? How many of you feel perfect? Get up this morning feeling perfect. I got up 4:30 this morning. Anybody get up earlier than that? I didn't get up feeling perfect. Felt much better after the third cup of coffee, but not perfect. And the idea of perfection, Wesley talked about that you and I are to go on toward perfection in our journey. And what that really means is that we're to grow in our walk, with the expectation that in this life, I can become more mature and more complete. Wesley never thought that you and I would be sinless. He just hoped we would sin less. And so the whole concept and the whole doctrine of the Holy Spirit is something that's terribly misunderstood in our culture. And those of us who talk about this a great deal, there are those who feel very incomplete because they don't have the same experience as others who, in fact, talk about this a lot. But the primary purpose, if you go back in the book of Acts, why is it that Paul and others, when they went into a different region, why would they have an experience of, if you will, of baptizing that group in the Holy Spirit? It's because they were not available to go to Pentecost, and they had been, for the most part, disciples of John the Baptist. And so when in chapter 3 of the book of Acts, I believe it is, where the Jerusalem group goes to Samaria to present the Holy Spirit because those in Samaria could not go to Jerusalem. They weren't welcome there. And to demonstrate to all that Samaritans could be included in the body of Christ, we see that happen. And all through the region in the book of Acts where the gospel had been received prior to the resurrection, prior to the day of Pentecost, all through the region in the book of Acts, we see the apostles going there to give them the Holy Spirit. That was an apostolic function that occurred in the book of Acts. And so today there's a lot of misunderstanding about that. But let me clarify one thing that no one disagrees with and I'm aware of in terms of what I just said. And that is, when they received the Holy Spirit of God, they became bold, and bold in their faith. And we certainly in our culture today need a generation of people who are bold for Christ, as opposed to those of us who simply want to blend in and fit in. Who are we trying to please? You follow me? So often we find ourselves serving the wrong master. The master of the God of our mind. The master of pleasing neighbor. The master of pleasing family. The master of pleasing culture. Because after all, none of us want to find ourselves... One of the common pitfalls that goes along with this is one of the basic... Maslow had it right in some ways. One of the basic human needs that most people have, first of all, is safety. That's Maslow's hierarchy of human need. But additionally, people want to fit in. You know? Is that true? And so what happens is we find ourselves fitting in where God has said, don't fit in, go make a difference. I want us to look at this today in terms of how the Spirit of God provides power for our living. First of all, the Spirit of God prays for us. In Romans 8, it says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Wow. Huh. Helps us in our weakness. Are you kidding me? Our weakness, we're told from the cradle to the grave to be strong, right? That's the message of our culture for so many of us, in particular, my generation, as children. Don't cry, be strong. Be strong, be strong, be strong. Well, when we are strong, we find ourselves self-sufficient. When we are weak, matter of fact, let me suggest that weakness draws people in and strength pushes people away. Self-sufficiency is probably my biggest sin, at least this week. I can name some other ones probably from last week and the week before, but self-sufficiency. When we are weak, then we're strong. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we did not know what we ought to pray for. Holy moly, moly, moly. Holy moly, by the way, was Moses' younger half-brother. That's why you hear holy moly so much. Some of you have heard holy Moses, right? Moly was his relative. Holy moly. You mean we don't know how to pray? How many of you have ever found yourself not knowing how to pray? How do you pray for a sick father? How do you pray for a wayward child? How do we pray for a friend of mine? I always bring him into this when I come to this point. He's in the middle of one of the worst droughts in East North Carolina a number of years ago. He's a farmer. And I said, Freddie, do you want me to pray for rain? He said, please don't. My neighbors are growing cotton. They don't need rain. Pray that God gives me the grace I need to deal with the circumstances around me. And I thought, wow, what a person of character. What a person of faith. Does that make sense? Incredible faith. We don't always know how to pray. And he goes on to say, but the Spirit Himself, and understand, for those who have not understood the Holy Spirit properly, some people think the Holy Spirit is a power. You don't use a pronoun like Himself to describe a power. The Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans and words that cannot express, and He searches our hearts, knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. How reassuring is it to you and to me that the very Holy Spirit who indwells us is praying for us in a way that is consistent with the will of God? Now, let me just say this. That's enough to make an Episcopalian shout amen. Sorry. Isn't that reassuring? Isn't that wonderful to know that the Holy Spirit of God lives in you and is praying for you according to God's will? Could you have anyone better to pray for you and to pray for your family, to all those things that are burdens on your heart? Isn't not great to know that God Himself, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is praying for you? That's incredibly exciting for me. How do you have power for living? One is to embrace the fact that the Holy Spirit of God lives in you and is praying for you. I don't mean to obsess too much today about what happened a year ago to me, but I can tell you, as I lay in that room wondering if the next one's coming, I mean, I lay there for about a day and a half thinking, you know, like kind of like my favorite theologian, Fred G. Elizabeth, you know, I'm thinking the big one's coming anytime. Right? Obsessing, uncomfortable, filled with anxiety. And you know what happened then? I thought to myself, why don't you just do what you preach? I hate it when that happens. And so I began to name the blessings that I have in my life. The old song that we've talked about before, count your blessings, name them one by one, in the old Cokesbury hymnal. And I began to name them out loud. And in a matter of minutes, I had an incredible sense of peace. Well, the second thing I want to point out about power for our living is that the Holy Spirit orders our life. Therefore, brothers, when there's a therefore, we ask ourselves, what's it there for? And the therefore is a conclusion statement asking for action based upon the other promises that are in that passage. And the promises deal with who we are in Christ. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. But it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. But if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. Now, let me just say this. I'm not sure what he means in this passage. There are a couple of things it might mean. One is that if we as believers, the followers of Jesus, if we continue to feed the fleshly side, the flesh, our carnal side, we will experience a death. And that death may, in fact, be a sense of separation from God, even though we're not. It may also be referring to physical death. People can wander away and put themselves in harm's way and find themselves in trouble. And then he goes on to say in verse 13, but if you live, and what's interesting is that the word if there is actually a first-class condition. It should read, for since you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if you live according to the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body. You will live. And I think what he's talking about in this passage is precisely what Jesus said in the passage I read earlier. He says, I've come to give you life and give it to you abundantly. And one of the tragedies of our Christian experience are those who are willing to settle for a life without a sense of abundance in it, a sense of God's presence, settling for just simply going through the motions of the Christian life. That is not what Jesus intended. He said, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. And by that, I think what he means is have a life that you understand the value and purpose of your life and the meaning attached to it. Who wants to go? Maslow's last deal? I'm stuck on Maslow today. I don't know why. Maslow's last deal was self-actualization. Remember that? All the way through the list. Well, he misses it. Self-actualization is not enough. It might feel good. Right? It does feel good to know that you're doing something that's creating value and that you're doing it from within and it's important to you. Oh, that's good. But like my friend Maxwell Smart, he missed it that much. The real abundant life is knowing that the things that you're doing in this life count for this life and for eternity. It's that understanding that you're living a life in the presence of God that has value. Well, the W stands for works in the world. Power for living comes from praying and from ordering, knowing that God orders my life and knowing that God works in the world. And this is incredible. Look at this passage. He says, but I tell you the truth. And I love it when Jesus says, I tell you the truth, right? That he does that for emphasis. It's like in the New Testament when he says, verily, verily, two verilies count more than one. It's an attention getter. He says, whoa, hold the phone. I tell you the truth, for it is for your good that I'm going away. Now, how would you like to hear that? I mean, these guys have experienced a wonderful 3 years. What a ride. They have seen people raised from the dead. They've walked on water. They fed the 5,000. And probably in Methodist terms, they're real excited because they saw water turned into wine. Right? They've seen these miracles. And he says, but it's for your good that I go away. What in the Sam Hill do you mean it's for my good that you go away? How many of you, I was going to say, I know some of you have had grandchildren this week and you've kind of understood the value of them going away. But he says in this passage, it's your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come. But if I go, I will send to you him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. It is not your job to go guilt the world. It's not your job. That's the Spirit's job, and I would trust that the Spirit can do it far better than you and I can. You and I can create barriers by living a life that appears to be somewhat sanctimonious and self-righteous. Which evil do we want to pick out in our culture to fixate on? Right? Pick an evil. We don't do that. That is, in fact, the job of the Holy Spirit as it relates to the world, to convict the world. Now, does that mean that we don't speak up? No, it doesn't mean we don't speak up. You and I can't fix anything. You and I can't save anyone. We don't have that power. Now, there are plenty of us that walk around with a messianic complex. I think I did that the first 10 years of my ministry. I was like the Energizer Bunny, trying to fix everybody. I realized one day and woke up, I was in fact Maslow's dog. You ring the bell and I'd come running. It is the job of the Spirit of God to do that. He works in the world and He brings conviction into the world. I had a friend of mine. I thought it was hilarious. You may not think it's hilarious. He went to do a sermon. He every week he'd go to the local jail every Sunday. He was very dedicated. Every Sunday he'd go take church to the local jail. It was an incredible ministry, as many of you know. And he told me one of the earlier times in his life when he was doing that, he started out his sermon by saying, "Now, how many of you have ever done anything wrong?" Come on. It is the Spirit of God who works in the world. He enables me to speak. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the Word of God. How? Boldly. He enables me to speak. I remember the first Sunday I went to church after I'd made that commitment to Christ as an 18-year-old kid, the Sunday school teacher pulled me aside and said, "Next week, would you read the scriptures in our opening exercises?" I didn't sleep for a week. I was terrified. First 10 years of my ministry, I'd get up on Sunday morning, my hands would be like ice. And part of that is I was taking not only responsibility for delivering the message, I was taking responsibility of how it's received. It's very freeing to know that that's really God's job. He enables us to speak. Last, He reaches me with options. As a follower of Jesus Christ, look at this verse. How about, do me a favor, entertain me for a moment. Read this out loud with me together. "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, but God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." God reaches me with options. God's power. He prays for us. He orders our lives. He works in us. He enables us. He reaches me with options. Heavenly Father, burn in our hearts today how we need you. We need you daily. We need you hour by hour. Empower our hearts and lives with that understanding. Give us that sense that we need. Help us to understand that you pray for us, you order our lives, you work in the world, you enable us to speak, and you reach us with options. Give us that grace and understanding today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand for our closing song.